listening to The Morning Show, live on Community Radio, KEDU.
All right, top of the morning. Welcome back here on the Dove 102.3 FM and on the web at KEDU.us. I am the Morning Show guy, formerly named Harvey T. I'm sorry about that. It's just one of those things, folks. I'll have it back pretty soon. So, anyway, listen, there is a group in New Mexico that I always say, if you're waiting on them, you're backing up. And I'm talking about Think New Mexico. You know, I love their mission statement because they are a results-oriented think tank whose mission is to improve the quality of life for all New Mexicans, especially those who lack a strong voice in the political process. If you whip out your utility bill, your cellular bill, your utility bills, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the PRC this morning. I'm very fortunate to have online the executive director of Think New Mexico, Fred Nathan, joins us this morning. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Harvey. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I appreciate you taking time to slip over here and join us in Studio B this morning. You know, I've been a little under the weather, but, you know, when I heard of your proposal, I started doing cartwheels.
I wish you were in the legislature.
Hey, oh, man, don't even get those folks started on that. I'll tell you what. You know, there's times that I wish I was, but, you know, when it comes down to it, friend, you and I both know, you know, that happens one person at a time, and you can see the deadlock. I mean, the embarrassing deadlock that we've had in the legislature, again, for redistricting. They just wasted the taxpayers' money and went golfing. They did whatever else. They didn't do their job. And, you know, I'm embarrassed. And I'll tell you what, I've never been so embarrassed as what's been going on at the PRC with Jerome Block Jr. and a couple of other people there as well. I mean, you know, it's just bizarre, and so I stand and salute you for what you're trying to get accomplished with the PRC. There's some common sense going on at Think New Mexico. God bless you all.
Well, you know, I joke with my friends, you don't really need to run a think tank to know that there's something terribly wrong at the Public Regulation Commission, and we've been thinking about doing something on that for several years, but I just always assumed somebody else would step up and take care of it. And it wasn't getting addressed, so we started writing a report 6 months ago, and it was just our good luck that Jerome Block made the case for us by committing 6 felonies and getting caught, and our report came out 1 week after he resigned. Actually came out 2 days after he resigned. So it's gotten some people's attention, which is a good thing.
You know, Fred, I was absolutely stunned at, you know, the quick turnaround. I don't know what happened, but I can only assume, and you know what happens there. I mean, but with the plea bargain agreement with Block Jr., I think really had something to do with Block Sr. I can't, but you know, for him to stay in that thing as long, and coming into the PRC, picking up his check, not showing up for work, coming in shorts and his cavalier attitude, it just blows me away. And there is someone, your case in point, who had no more than a high school diploma. He's a young buck. No experience in the world or anything else, and it was a mind blower for me when all this started happening with the gas cards and everything else. I mean, going back, you know, with the campaign funds, I mean, there's just a whole plethora of things. Like, what did you say, 7 or 8 felonies? I mean, it's just unbelievable that we can. This is New Mexico. I'm tired of being 49th. You know what I mean?
And you know, the amazing thing, Harvey, is you're not even required to have a high school diploma. All you're required to have is be 18 years of age, lived in the state for 1 year, and not have a felony, which, of course, he violated. And that's the only requirement to serve on the Public Regulation Commission and set the rates for our phone bills, our electric bills, our gas bills. And these are very complicated decisions that you would hope people would not only have a high school degree, but at least a college degree, and hopefully maybe a master's degree in something like economics or a law degree, or something where you're dealing with these very intense technical decisions, and you couldn't set the bar any lower.
Well, it's incredible. Now, on your website, folks, I want to direct you to thinknewmexico.org. thinknewmexico.org, and I'll put another link up on our website after the interview this morning. I don't know if this is an interview, Fred. We have a conversation about real issues, about real things that happen in New Mexico, and it's anyway, Think New Mexico, you've got a summary of what you're proposing here this morning, and I know that Who is it, Mark? Commissioner Mark had something else in the news this morning, but it escapes me because I'm thinking about what you're thinking and saying here, and it makes so much sense. So much sense.
Well, like I said, you don't really need to run a think tank to know that the PRC is broken, and we have two really very straightforward solutions. One is to require greater qualifications for those people that serve on the PRC. So not only a college degree would be ideal at a minimum, but we recognize that in this state, you know, there's a lot of poverty and not everybody's had the financial circumstances where they could attend college and get a degree. So we said, or 5 years of professional experience, because, you know, in the private sector, this is a job, by the way, that PRC commissioners pay $90,000 a year. And if you had a job like that in the private sector, your employers would expect both the education qualifications and the professional qualifications to go with it. Another thing that we point out is that if you read the statutes for what the PRC commissioners are supposed to do, they're a lot like judges. And in New Mexico, judges not only have to have a college degree, but they need a law degree. And some people think, you know, it's too steep that we're asking for a college degree, even though we have that alternative of 5 years of relevant professional experience. But I really don't think it's enough. And so we think it's really just a modest proposal to get some people on the commission that are a little more qualified. And, of course, Jerome Block's not the first person on the PRC to get in trouble with the law. You may remember last year Carol Sloan, a PRC commissioner from the western part of the state, also committed a felony and was convicted and then didn't want to leave office. And the Supreme Court had to say, no, you've now got a felony on your record. You can't collect this $90,000 a year anymore, and you have to leave office as well. So that's, you know, then there was another commissioner who apparently is a serial sex harasser, and he, while he was a commissioner, apparently harassed his employee, his staff member, and she sued and recovered $841,000.
That was king, wasn't it?
So I could go on. I could fill up your show, Harvey, with all the PRC commissioners who have been in trouble either with the law or some other related scandal. So that's one proposal. The second proposal is that the PRC just has too much on their plate. They've got too much to do because in addition to regulating utilities, which is really in and of itself a full-time job, it's electric, gas, water, wastewater, and landline telephones. Actually, cellular telephones are regulated by the feds. But in addition to all of that, they also do insurance. And home, auto, life, health insurance. And again, that's another full-time job. Then they regulate motor transportation, so that would include taxis, buses, limos, moving vans, ambulances, railroads. The list goes on and on. They even regulate the fire marshal. So one of the things that we do in the report is that we trace the history, and they've become something of a repository for sort of every, you know, regulatory function that nobody wants to deal with, and they've become much too powerful. And so we would deregulate some of their functions, like motor transportation. If you wanted to start a taxi company in Alamogordo, for example, you'd have to get a certificate of convenience and necessity. This goes back to a law passed in the 1930s to get their permission from some bureaucrats in Santa Fe to start a business. And once you've done that, the regulators in Santa Fe set the prices for what you can charge people in Alamogordo to take a taxi cab. And so we think those are two decisions that would be better left to the free market to decide whether you can have a taxi company in Alamogordo and what prices they set. Here in Santa Fe, we've got only one taxi cab company. They've got a monopoly. And several years ago, an entrepreneur, just the kind of person we need in this economic environment that we find ourselves in, said, you know, I'd like to start a second company in Santa Fe, a second taxi cab company. And he knows that everybody up here is an environmentalist, so he had the idea of starting a green taxi cab company. Well, the one company that has the monopoly, under this archaic law that we have, if you want to start a taxi cab company, you've got to alert your potential customer, or your potential competitors, and naturally they filed a legal brief. This one was over 200 pages, not including affidavits, as to why Santa Fe only needs one taxi cab company. And it was so oppressive that this entrepreneur finally threw in the towel. And so we're crushing jobs at a time that we need to be creating jobs in Santa Fe. So that's an area that we think needs to be deregulated. And it's not just taxi cab companies. It's buses, it's shuttles, it's moving companies. And so there, you know, it would be addition by subtraction just to take that away from the PRC and let the free market do it. And then there's some other things that we think should be decentralized, just taken away, and there are other government agencies that would be a better fit. The best example of that is the PRC licenses corporations, but so does the Secretary of State. And in most states, they want to be business friendly, and they have one-stop shopping. So if you want to register an LLP, you have to do that at the state you have to do that at the Secretary of State's office. If you want to register, so that's a partnership. If you want to register a corporation, you got to do that at the PRC. We would consolidate both those functions and put it at the Secretary of State's office, like 35 states already do, and make it one-stop shopping for businesses and try to create a more business-friendly environment in this economic downturn.
Brad, it's been said that the New Mexico PRC is the most powerful regulatory agency in the United States. Is there any truth to that? I mean, it sounds like that.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We had 7 interns here this summer. We wanted to figure that out ourselves. We couldn't find another state regulatory agency that has as broad a jurisdiction as the PRC. And one thing I said, you know, the media called up after the Jerome Block thing, and I said, well, is there a connection here with corruption? And I said, well, as long as you have an agency that is as powerful as the PRC and you match it up with so few qualifications, it's always going to be a magnet for corrupt politicians like Jerome Block Jr. And so, yes, it is the most powerful state regulatory agency in the country and with the fewest qualifications. I mean, you can't set the bar any lower than not even having a high school diploma.
You know, Fred, what you said about the Santa Fe taxi company, just as an outsider, and folks, this is just me thinking out loud, but with all the play-to-pay garbage we've had going on, somebody filing a 200-page, how many commissioners actually read all 200 pages? I mean, I've heard a commissioner say, well, I voted on this because I didn't have time to read all of it. Listen, wait a minute. $90,000 a year, we're paying you to be on top of these issues. If you don't have time to do your homework on a commission, you need to, you know, you need to refocus. And you need to, you know, job one here, is if you're a PRC commissioner, is dealing with all the PRC issues and their parameters. I mean, don't come out and say you don't have time to read, you know, the background on the case. I was blown away with that. And thinking about, yeah, there's a tour company here. There was a tour company here. They just made it so cost prohibitive. I mean, there's been, you know, I mean, it's really also a struggle with taxis. I mean, you know, we need them. We want them. As a resort area, I mean, you know, where thank goodness there's one still left that runs till 4 o'clock in the morning on the weekends. But it's been a tough road to hoe to get, you know, get these people licensed, and it just seems like, from an outsider, that there's just too much play to, you know, pay to play in New Mexico, and all these other things that you're talking about here. I mean, it is such a wide swath that's the reason that I think New Mexico is hitting it on the head here. I mean, what more could you ask for? It's such a huge job, and to have 5 years work experience or relative, you know, related experience, professional experience in the area, is that too much to ask for from a company that's, you want to pay more in health insurance by somebody not paying attention or not being able to negotiate with the health insurance companies or insurance companies for auto insurance? I mean, folks, we got to get back to some common sense stuff here, and that's why I like what you're proposing.
Well, Harvey, you know, one of the interesting things and really remarkable is that two of the of four remaining PRC commissioners have come out and essentially endorsed our proposals. And both, you know, one has a law degree, the other has a master's degree. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat, one's the chairman of the PRC, the other's the longest-serving member at 6 years. The Democrat's Jason Marks, the Republican is Pat Lyons, and you know, it's very, as I think you can attest, Harvey, as a close observer of the political scene, it's very unusual for politicians to willingly give up power and authority. But these two say it's overwhelming what the amount of knowledge that you have and the steep learning curve. Even and in their cases, they both have college degrees, and as I said, one has a master's degree and one has a law degree. And they said, there's just too much on our plates. There's just too much to digest here. It's interesting, the other two commissioners who don't have degrees held a press conference and attacked our proposals and said that everything's just fine the way it is. And, you know, of course, we would beg to differ just based on the PRC. You know, for the PRC's only been around for 15 years. And if you review their history, as we have, it's been in a constant state of turmoil and scandal from its inception. So something's got to change.
I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's and by the way, I caught that press conference, and I was just, here's a word that you probably don't hear. I was stupefied. when I saw that, I was
just. That's a great word for it, and that's exactly how I felt. You know, I crashed. They didn't, naturally, they didn't invite us to the press conference, but it's, you know, a public meeting, so we went over, and I listened, and I saw some of the media there. They were just rolling their eyes, and it's just remarkable. But you know, those are the only two people on the planet that don't think that there needs to be a change. But still, it's going to be an uphill fight. There are a lot of special interests that benefit Harvey from the fact that the PRC is overwhelmed with their jurisdiction and that they're not all that qualified. And so, I think there's going to be some pressure on the legislature to keep things the way they are. And I hope that your listeners, if they've got the time, will go to our website. And I think they can do it from the KEDU radio station website. You can go to Think New Mexico's website at www.thinknewmexico.org. And all they have to do is press on our, click on the Action Center. And we've got pre-scripted letters that they can send to their legislators. They don't even need to know who their legislators are. Just by typing in your address, it'll pop up who your state representative is and who your state senator is. And while you're at it, write the governor as well and let her know that you support dramatic structural reform of the Public Regulation Commission.
How could you not? By the way, going back to that press conference, One of the commissioner told me they didn't have time to review. It was one of those that held the press conference. So, you know, it's you can just imagine who I'd run into in Taco Bell. I'll leave it up to everybody else to figure that out. But listen, we want to get that out. Fred, you're making it so simple, folks. If you don't go to this website and just click in and send the letter. You know, when you open your bill, your utility bill, you know, your gas, your electrical, whatever it might be, and you keep looking at it, and you look at all the other little things that are in there, keep in mind, quite possibly, you could have done something to better yourself and for you and your family by taking just a little bit of responsibility in a role and getting in this and getting some of this squared away. You got to be thinking about your future, and this is garbage. This really is. This garbage cannot continue to go against the citizens of the state of New Mexico. This is just wrong. And Fred, how long did it take you to put all this together? How many people worked on this project?
Well, it took about 6 months. The board approved it back in, it would have been April, so that's about 6 months. And we just cleared the decks and researched it for a good 3 to 4 months. And that's Christina Fisher, our associate director, Jason Espinoza, our field director, Lynn Buchan, our business manager, helped with recruiting some of the images. And then we had 7 interns here this summer. And we had them comparing, for example, how we regulate insurance in New Mexico as opposed to the other 50 states. We even looked at other countries like Canada. We're really looking just for the best models. And, you know, very few states. We could only find one state that was even close to New Mexico in terms of just aggregating all these different things from insurance to motor transportation, corporations, the fire marshal. And, you know, it was very interesting. One of the questions we asked ourselves, which may be interesting to your listeners, Harvey, is how did this, you know, what were they thinking when they put the PRC together? And the answer was they weren't really thinking very carefully. What happened was back in the mid-90s, there was a lot of dissatisfaction with the old State Corporation Commission. This was three elected commissioners, mostly from the North, who regulated telephones and insurance. And at the same time, we had something called the PUC, the Public Utility Commission, which did an okay job. And anyway, a two-term legislator thought, well, what if we merge these two regulatory bodies? And he threw a bill in a 30-day session about halfway through. And no one really paid much attention to it. It was only about 3 pages and 52 lines, but it had massive, implications for the people of New Mexico in terms of putting all that power together with so few qualifications. And the speaker assigned it to four committees, and everybody thought, well, that was the kiss of death, and nothing would happen to it, and the media didn't really cover it. And it went to its first committee, Voters and Elections, and they passed it without recommendation, which is legislative parlance for, you know, we don't think very much of this, and we think probably the next committee will kill it. And indeed, it got assigned to its next committee, Business and Industry, which is where bills go to die. Actually, good bills and bad bills, and I think probably the folks in Voters and Elections said, let them kill it, that's what they do. And it was one of those occasions where they didn't have the right people sitting in the right chairs, and three people were missing or absent, and the bill snuck through Business and Industry 5-4, and it got some momentum, and it got to the House floor with only 12 hours left in the session, and they thought, well, you know, it'll never pass the Senate, so they passed it out of the House, and the bill went over to the Senate, and Senator Manny Aragon, who, you know, as you know, is now in federal prison, assigned it to a single committee, and in the last 12 hours of the session, it's so frantic, you know, nothing gets out of committee. It, you know, it's just triage at that point. But Senator Aragon liked the bill and brought it down to the House, Senate floor with only an hour to go. And they passed it thinking, well, it's still got to go to the voters, and the voters are never going to pass this. And this was 1996, and you had a presidential race, you had a senatorial race, you had congressional races, all the legislature were up for re-election, you had judicial races, and here it came, you know, at the bottom of the ballot, it was number 6 of 7 constitutional amendments. And it was interesting, you know, Gary Johnson and Speaker Raymond Sanchez never got along, but on this they agreed. The Speaker was quoted in the Albuquerque Journal as saying, you know, this is way too powerful, and Governor Johnson said, you know, I'm just concerned that we're going to elect unqualified people. And, of course, they were both right. But, nevertheless, it passed 51% to 49%. And so that's how we got here. And it's just, as I said earlier, it's just been marred by controversy and scandal and corruption ever since it was formed in 1996. So we think this is, you know, Jerome Block, unfortunately, a lot of people, what we're concerned about, Harvey, is that some legislators are going to say, well, you know, we fixed the problem. Jerome Block Jr. is gone. But our point is, no, you haven't. There's a lot of structural problems that need to get addressed, and we're going to continue to have people like Jerome Block Jr. unless we, again, pass some constitutional amendments and redesign the PRC.
You know, it's not just the commissioners there. It's the oversight in Block Jr.'s example. It's just continuing to use that credit card without oversight, without them knocking it down, without them putting a block on that. A little term there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just amazed that it continues to go on, And is he going to pay back the taxpayers in New Mexico? I'm hoping that there's going to be some judge that's going to have some conscience and some, you know, some backbone in this thing to make sure that the citizens of New Mexico are, you know, get their due one way or another, you know, repaid or have some hide, you know what I mean?
I am hoping that a judge will see to it that Mr. Block spends some time in jail to send a message that you just cannot rip off the taxpayers like this and not serve any jail time. So I share your concerns about that. You know, in fairness to the PRC, I have to say there are some good people over there. In fact, it was somebody that worked at the PRC that noticed that Jerome Block's gas card, state-issued gas card, was out of control and who essentially turned him in. So I'm hopeful that if we can change the PRC and raise the qualifications and take away some of the power, that there are some good folks there. And I really do want to commend Jason Marks, who's the PRC commissioner, who's a Democrat, and Pat Lyons, who's a Republican, who are really taking a courageous stand and saying, you know, we really do need to take some of this power and put it in some places where it's going to be, you know, where the people in New Mexico will be better served. So hope is on the way, as they say.
Well, it's great, and you and your group certainly think New Mexico is to be commended. you know, the name of your organization says it all. You're thinking about New Mexico all the time, and that's what we need. We don't need to be 49th anymore. I'm tired of thinking about being 49th and dead last. I want to be in that top five. You know, I'll settle for top 10. I mean, you know, let's. It's not that we have stupid people here, lazy people that don't want to work or don't want to better themselves and their families and their everyday struggle, you know, for the American dream here. I mean, New Mexico is proud. We got four seasons. You know, there's a lot of firsts here. There's a lot of technology here. Let's get up out of the ditch, folks. And let's you know, just because we got to lead by example here. Somehow, somewhere, somebody's got to start towing the mark. And I'll tell you what, we got to start towing the mark with that legislature. We've got to figure a way because, you know, we got to make sure that, and you're doing it. And what you're saying here is just common sense. And this goes right down to every single one. I was thinking about it this morning. Utility bills. When I left this morning, my thermostat's on 55. You know, I'm thinking about the weather ahead. You know, and how can families of four, five, six, you know, people in a family, not want to get involved and write a letter to help save some money and make sure we have competent, coherent, intelligent people who have a sincere concern for New Mexicans in these positions here, in these powerful, powerful positions. And you guys are just you're doing it, Fred. And man, God bless you all. It's just I don't know. It's just
Well, Harvey, thank you, as always, for giving me this microphone or sharing your microphone, and it's great to talk to your listeners, and you've always been so generous and complimentary. It's really a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be that way if you weren't doing the job, Fred.
So, thank you.
You know, I've got to say that. Folks, it's thinknewmexico.org. Spell it out, thinknewmexico.org. And there's an issue summary up there about rethinking the PRC. And I'm going to look for my other documents and stuff from you, and I'll put a link up there, and so they can look at the whole thing, Fred. And you know, let's stay in touch on this. Let's, you know, other issues, things develop. Hey, let's talk about this. I want to get everybody educated about it. We'll pass the word. We'll be the town crier. You know, up on the soapbox, we have to. And you know, this is really, really an important, I mean, this is, you know, I can't think of anything else that's more important right now. I mean, you know, that's facing New Mexicans, this redistricting thing. I mean, if it stayed the same right now, we could live through that. But what's happening at the PRC is a totally different thing, and it affects even the most impoverished New Mexicans, and they just have to realize that.
It probably affects them more. I mean, and it impacts everybody in New Mexico who pays an electric bill, a water bill, a gas bill, who has a landline telephone, who buys insurance. So, you know, this is something that really needs to get addressed this year. And I hope I can come back on your show in January and give you a report on the legislature, and hopefully they'll take it on and get it addressed.
You know what? I ran a poll a little while back while they were in their first session. And I asked residents to grade them. Can you take a guess on what the percentage was?
I really can't.
At 99,
curious to know what did they do better than a B minus?
99% got F.
Ooh,
they got an F, and that was over 3,000 votes. So we're 3,000 in a poll. So maybe a third
of
the
folks. Well, this is an opportunity for them to turn that report card around. If they address the PRC, I hope your listeners will be open to raising their grade, maybe up to a B.
Hey, man, I'll tell you, the people in New Mexico deserve it and better. So, Fred Nathan, Executive Director of Think New Mexico. Fred, we'll stay in touch and look forward to seeing you again, pal. You take care, okay?
Thanks again, Harvey.
Thanks for all you're doing. Appreciate it very much. Fred Nathan on The Morning Show. If you miss a day, you miss a lot.
Live, it's The Morning Show with Harvey T. on Community Radio, KEDU.